Near FM. The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there and welcome along to the programme 90.3. This is Near FM. I'm Declan Ralph and this is The Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. So I'll be looking beyond the stories that you usually hear about, and instead I'll feature stories about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. I'll feature stories too about groups that represent and advocate for minorities in our community and further afield. And of course, we'll have those local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme, well, you can contact me via the text line while we're on the air here. The text line is open. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44500. You can email weekinreview@near.ie or you'll get me on Twitter at nearfm, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. The plan for the 30km speed limit in Dublin is set to be dropped. Families of Stardust victims are entitled to free legal aid. Dublin City Council launches a new interactive cycling app to cater for those on their bikes in the capital. It's 45k and there's no kidding about that. Little bit cryptic, but Ken will reveal all. A sculpture in your local park. And yes, we're going back to Barrytown 30 years later. Can you believe it? The Dublin Dance Festival is 2 weeks of fresh, daring and courageous dance online. You can dive into new performances from trailblazing artists from right around the world. You can immerse yourself in the creative process with dance documentaries, and you can move and connect with family, friends and community at workshops and interactive events. Ken Two Left Feet Kilbride, he wrote that, not me, talks to the festival director, festival's artistic director, Benjamin Pershey, in about 10 minutes' time. Then just after 1 o'clock, Sarah will be along to have a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. And after that, well, are you a volunteer? Or have you ever considered taking on a voluntary role and giving back to your community? The seemingly small actions volunteers in Dublin and right across Ireland take every day really have a huge impact. This week is National Volunteering Week, and a host of events are being hosted by volunteer centres in Dublin and across Ireland to celebrate and give back to our volunteers. So, what's involved and how can an individual take the first step along the way on their volunteer journey? To find out, at 1:15, Sarah will speak with the manager of the Dublin City Volunteer Centre, Edwina Dewart. Then, just about time before I finish to squeeze in, as I do every week, the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally, and I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities.
Local stories with Ken Kilbride.
Ken, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are
nice
you?
Nice to see you for
it is, yeah. It's the first time in this year, I think. To be fair, probably,
tell you, to be honest,
that we've actually been across the studio with the safety perspex glass between us
yes,
and all the social distancing taking place. Other than that, we've been on the phone or on the Zoom or some magical way of radio. So it is great to see you here in the studio. And this is a story we talked about before. We talked about it when it was raised as a proposal. But now the idea of this 30km speed limit in Dublin is going to be dropped because...
They did a public consultation and the public consultation came back and said there was 600 responses. Only 41% supported the idea, 46% were against, 9% were in favour of some limited extension of the speed limits across the area. So the council also admitted, and this is the interesting part in its report to councillors, that it was a mistake to run the Love 30 media campaign in favour of the limit while the consultation was ongoing.
They weren't trying to influence it at all.
I think they did use the word unduly influence the outcome.
Didn't work, obviously.
No. So the report by Head of Technology Services Brendan O'Brien and Assistant Chief Executive John Flanagan also say that the arguments both in favour and against the 30 speed limit should have been presented during the consultation. So in conclusion, the report, which is now up to councillors to decide whether to continue with the review of speed limits or leave things as they are. Local councillor Damien O'Farrell said, in all his time in the council, he hadn't seen such orchestrating of a one-sided public consultation exercise, and it was the lowest point as far by a public body he'd seen in his 12 years as an elected representative. Now, the interesting part about this is, you know, there's 500,000 people in Dublin City Council. There was only 4,000 replied, so it's not a representative sample, probably. It's a low bar. But what it does say in the information is, you know, if you get hit at 30 kilometres, 90% survive. If you get hit at 60 kilometres, 90% die. So there is a little bit of a moral dilemma in this if they there do is. Step away from it. I think it'll be up to our elected councillors to come to a decision on this one.
Yeah, well, the old story, you should drive in which the conditions you find yourself in. You should drive always for the conditions you find yourself in, irrespective of what the speed limit is.
It's not a target.
It's not a target, is right. Yeah, very good. Now, some good news for the Stardust victims' families. They're now going to be entitled to free legal aid for the latest inquest.
Well, indeed, this has been covered a couple of times on this station, and obviously it is a big local issue. So Minister for Justice Heather Humphreys has signed the Civil Legal Aid Regulations Act 2001, which was done, she says, on an exceptional basis. So the families concerned are asked to engage with the Legal Aid Board if they wish to receive legal support as soon as possible, and those applications will be reviewed immediately. The Parliament said Minister Humphreys hoped that the inquest will meet the expectations of all the families involved and that it can commence shortly, and $8 million has been allocated to the new inquests. Antoinette Keegan, who lost her sisters Mary and Martina in the disaster, has welcomed the news. "We welcome what they've done, but it caused so much anxiety." And she says they hope that the inquests themselves can hopefully start in the next few weeks. So let's hope that one gets started very shortly.
A little bit of common sense prevailed in the end. Yeah, great. Now, one for you, Ken. You like this one. An app for those who like to go on their bicycle, which is you.
Well, indeed, I will admit I'm going to be a tad biased when I was picking this one out.
Yep.
So, this is the new Dublin Cycling Buddy app, which was available for download yesterday, with a host of features to challenge and challenges available to cater for all level of cyclists. So this really good initiative generates bike-friendly routes, highlights route issues like potholes and traffic, which are used, and also useful things like finding back bike racks close to your destination. So the app is part of the Smart Dublin initiative, and it was developed to help Dublin City Council use cyclist data to identify cycle routes in the city for development and upgrade. And it'll help officials to direct investment and route improvements across the city, as well as continue to improve algorithm ability to suggest safer and quieter cycling routes in the city. So Owen Keegan, who's the Chief Executive of Dublin City Council, also stated, "The app offers Dublin cyclists a smart way to engage with the council, build a community of cyclists, as well as share trip information and advice on safer routes. And this will help inform our investment priorities and help us to measure the impact of the current investments across the city." Now, this isn't a pun that I came up with. So the chairperson of cyclists.ie is Colm Ryder. and we're delighted to be supporting the use of this app after seeing the success in the Velo City 2019 conference. "It'll be helpful for cyclists to get specialist routes for safer cycling, and the games and leaderboards are also a nice touch for cycling community." Now, I've seen these type of niches in other European cities previously. So what you do is, if you find a pothole, you can go on and say there's a pothole on Grace Park Avenue. There's lots of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've fallen into most of them. And they should come out and fix them. That's the thing. They should come out and fix them. So it's what they do with all this information is the interesting thing.
It will be the interesting thing. And yeah, Colm Ryder being the chairperson of cyclists. I think these, do they change their name when they get the job, or do they get the job because they have their name? You've probably seen recently Niall Hatch is kind of the boss man at Birdwatch Ireland.
Oh, is he?
You see him on the telly a lot. So I don't know. I don't know what way that's working, but it's very interesting.
I would have voted for him with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, actually, this is another story we've talked about before here, and I think I suggested maybe you should go and take up this job.
Well, that's it.
Does it interest you now at 45k?
At 45k, you're beginning to get quite interested.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about goat herding on Howth.
Yeah.
So the Old Irish Goat Society is offering a chance to apply for a permanent role to manage the flock of goat. And let's say the salary is going to be 45,000 a year. The goat herders say will be based at a Howth farm, and they will move across the heathlands to graze the expanse of gorse and firbreaks and to encourage the growth of more structurally diverse vegetation. And the herder will work in conjunction with Fingal County Council's biodiversity officer to create a year-round grazing plan. So those applying have to be able to herd goats with a sheepdog and be able to command them across the heathlands of Howth. Experience in managing heathlands through a combination of grazing and growth management is essential. Farming qualifications or a third level qualification would be advantageous. I had a look through the job spec and they're saying you do need a driver license, but ability in using a trailer is required.
Is required. To, in case the sheep run away and you need to go and get a trailer and bring them back. Very good. So, well, that's a skill you could learn, I'm sure.
Indeed you could, but...
Yeah.
I don't think you'd have to go 4 years college to get your qualifications and then come back. And I say someone already has that, but I'm not sure there's going to be too many people listening today have 4 years qualification and a couple of years herding experience behind them.
No, it's a very interesting job though, isn't it?
Yes, it would
be.
Very
interesting.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and in the city, which is kind of unusual for that type of job.
You know? You are outdoors on Howth Head, to be honest, a lot.
Absolutely. Now, sculpture in your local park, have your say.
So they're doing a couple of public consultations. So Fingal residents are being encouraged to get involved in the upcoming public consultations that will decide the decisions for the new sculpture in Kildonan Park in Finglas West. So in late April, Fingal, our Dublin County Council, commissioned Sarah Cunningham Bell to do the piece. So the consultation will take place next Thursday. All are welcome to come along, meet the artist. You'll be invited to fill in a questionnaire, and that's designed to explore what makes Finglas special. So feel free to bring along a photo of a place or a person. So they'll be talking about what's your favourite place in Finglas, where do you like to spend time, what's your favourite thing about the cultural activities in Fingal, local traditions, sports, others. Then there'll be objects and symbols that, you know, mean something to you about Fingal and Finglas, what people are important to you. So that'll be an interesting way. But down in St. Anne's, they're actually going to do, what they've done is they've five prominent artists have been shortlisted for the permanent land art exhibition. And what they did there was they had an international panel and they long listed a load of artists and then they whittled them down to five. It's interesting to see what will happen then. Will they have a public consultation after that? Because this one is very international for St. Anne's, you know, lots of, you know, heavyweights from around Europe whittling the 25 down to five. And then the one's going to be appointed, and there obviously there's a brief on that. So again, lots of public sculpture there going up in parks around you, and they will be looking for you to have your say on it.
Brilliant. Yeah, great. And It's great to see it. Now, I couldn't believe when I started thinking about this, and I actually watched the first edition. The one on the commitments was on last Sunday evening. I see it's going to be repeated on Saturday after the Eurovision. But the Barrytown trilogy, the commitments, the Snapper and the Van, they're absolutely fantastic movies. But it was hard to believe it's 30 years, and looking at Roddy Doyle, he certainly aged over the 30 years.
Just a little bit.
Like all of us,
like
I'm
the
sure.
Rest of us.
Like all of us, yeah.
So as you say, the Much Barrytown trilogy is going to be a three-part series on RTE. Colin Meaney, who featured across all three films, will be leading this, and he explores the world of Barrytown, the people who populated, the real lives that inspired it, those that helped create it. The series will feature lots of well-known cast from the trilogy, including Roddy Doyle, Colin Meaney himself, Brendan O'Carroll, Angeline Ball, Robert Arkins. And as you say, they're going to have a little bit of a treat after the Eurovision tonight. They're going to have The Commitments on, which is a really, really good film. And then The Snapper is going to be on the 29th. Now, the reason I had a look at this myself was, you know, I've read the trilogy. The Snapper was one of the freshest books I've ever written. The Commitments. The Snapper was actually one of the funniest books I've ever written in my life. And there's a line in that that's always resonated with me. Jimmy Rabbit Sr. Got all the kids' bikes and they had them. And one of the kids was blemming down the Tongue Road. I used to do that on a Saturday night myself. I'm sure people have been saying this, you know, you get on the bike and you go down, you get behind the 42 and get in the slipstream.
Yeah.
And they pull you down.
Absolutely.
The Tongue Road. So anytime I see that line, I crease myself.
Laughing. Yeah. No, look, it's especially for all of us who grew up here on the north side, it's obviously very close to home.
Yeah.
And you can relate to all of it. And it's really, really funny and great fun. And of course, Italian 90 as well in the van. I mean, all the references to that was just unbelievable. So it'd be great to see the movies and indeed the documentaries as well. So they're brilliant. Ken, that's unfortunately, we have a few more stories there, but that's all the time we have today. I knew we'd probably run away with ourselves talking when we were here face to face. But we'll take a short piece of music now. And in a moment or two, you're going to have a chat with Benjamin Perche about the Dublin Dance Festival. So that's coming up right after this piece of music.
This is Near FM on 90.3, and that was Pat Benatar. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, and with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, and welcome back to the Week in Review. Don't forget, if you have a story you would like us to feature on the programme, you can contact us on text. That's text 087-69-45500. That's text 087-69-45500. Or email weekinreview@near.ie. The Dublin Dance Festival is 2 weeks of fresh, daring and courageous dance online, and you can dive into new performances and trailblazing artists from around the world. You can immerse yourself in the creative process with dance and documentaries, move with the family and connect. Friends and community at workshops and interactive events. I'm now talking to the festival artistic director, Benjamin Perche. So good afternoon, Benjamin. How are you? And welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Ken. Thank you for your invitation, and good afternoon, everyone at Near FM.
Indeed. So I was having a look through the programme and the way you've laid it out this year. So you've four strands. You've the Bright Horizons, the Moving Minds, Illuminating Dance, and Everybody Moves. So could you tell me what's the big idea behind all that and how they all sort of fit together?
Well, because we curated a two-week-long festival online this year with some performances, some documentaries, some short video works, workshops and talks, as you said earlier. And the four strands are a way to guide viewers in their choices. And the festival started on Tuesday and it's online until Sunday the 30th of May. There's plenty to see. As always at Dublin Dance Festival, the program is very eclectic. We have some video contents that are joyful and entertaining, or some of them could be more, let's say, reflexive and meaningful. There's something for everybody. No doubt.
Indeed. Just looking through the what you were saying, and I had looked some interviews you had done during the week, and one of the things you said, we are loyal and audacious. Tell me about being audacious. What does that mean?
I was probably saying that because the artists whom we have invited to participate online, some of them are quite well known by Irish audiences. And some of them are invited to the first time, I would say. So Irish audiences know Liz Roach Company, who's a pretty established Irish choreographer, or Justin Doswell. And I really invite people to have a look at these two works. Liz Roach has been filming on the Addy Stage, our national theater, and Justin Doswell has been filming in the gorgeous St. Patrick Cathedral. And alongside these Irish artists, we have some artists who have been filming, recording in Lebanon, in Belgium, in Canada, in Spain, in France. So some beautiful work from home and abroad, indeed.
Indeed, but I say, just in terms of yourself, you mean you would have come on board as artistic director in 2015, so this will be your last Dublin Dance Festival. So over those sort of 6 years, and you've done seven festivals, what changes have you seen, and what do you hope your legacy will be when we talk about Benjamin Perchet 5 years from now?
I mean, the festival has always been delivering an eclectic programme. I'm pretty sure that people enjoyed that for 6 years in a row. We introduced some different cultures because we brought some artists coming from Lebanon, from Greece, from Portugal, from South Africa. So, I mean, it was lovely to see audience members discovering new cultures, new aesthetics, new ideas coming from international countries, way beyond Europe. And we have been supporting a national initiative called Top 8, which is an event for Irish urban dancers, which is very successful. We've been increasing events for children and families. So, I mean, we've been opening up the boundaries of the festival in terms of generations and styles and geography, too. Well, so I'm very proud and a bit sad that it's my last edition. But we've been working a lot with a fantastic team, and audience members were fantastic over the years because they were curious to see some flamenco, and the day after, some work which can be more minimalistic, let's say, hip-hop, ballet, so a lot of different styles. That's the DNA of the festival for now.
Indeed. As it is your last year, I can ask you the question this way. Normally we'd ask you, you know, could you tell us some highlights? But because it's your last year, and it doesn't really mind if you get two people upset, so what's your favourites this year? What are you looking forward to?
I'm very happy for the two Irish artists because even if it was, as you can imagine, very complicated and tough and even painful to be working in a level 5 period of time. What they achieved is absolutely gorgeous. So I really invite people to watch these two performances by Liz Roach and Catherine Young. And there's a gorgeous documentary about flamenco young artists. Her name is Rocio Molina, and the documentary is called Impulso. So it's the opportunity for people to see Rocio Molina performing on stage in some venues during some festivals, but to also have like some lovely behind the scenes. And I cannot wait for the last weekend, so the last weekend of May, because we have a lot of things available for families and children, which are free. So don't hesitate to go on the website, dublindancefestival.ie, and you'll see that for children, we have some very funny videos and some workshops. It's called Sunny Days, Insect Days, and you can even play at home and perform a sofa dance, which you can record and share on social media if you feel like doing so.
And that's the one of the ones that I picked up on myself. You know, as I in the introduction, they said, Ken, two left feet, Kilbride. And in the tweet I put out, you know, and this is true. My parents did actually say I had all the grace of a baby elephant. At weddings, I'm the one that doesn't get up to dance. And really, you don't want me up dancing on the dance floor. So what do you have for me at the festival?
You can watch.
I can watch, thank you.
And very happy for a Lebanese artist. His name is Ali Charour. Two dance critics here in Ireland have reviewed his work, and he had 5 stars, which makes a total of 10 stars. And it's a short film. It's about 20 minutes only. It's been recorded outdoor in Lebanon, and it's sumptuous.
Indeed. Well, thanks very much for that, for taking your time, because I mean, I know you're in the middle of the festival, so things are going to be very busy at the minute. So, there is an extensive program. If I wanted to find information about where the extensive program is, you know, what events I can book onto them, how I can book onto them, and what's happening where and when. Where do I find all that sort of good information?
The website is, in my opinion, quite clear, and it's easy to navigate. So you just have to go on dublindancefestival.ie, and you select the work by Strands, or you can see all the events and whatever. In any case, it's, at some stage it looks like a video on demand platform, but it's very easy to navigate, I promise.
Indeed. Well, thanks very much, and thanks very much for the last 6 years, and I'm sure you'll come back to visit us on a regular basis.
I will. And enjoy the festival. The festival. There's plenty to watch until the end of this month.
Okay, thanks very much, Benjamin. We look forward to seeing it all.
Have a nice day, and thank you.
Bye-bye.
Just, I love the way he said, watch. Watch. And he brought it in a bit there.
I've been put in my place.
You were better. Real matter of fact, like, he just moved on to the next subject. So, like, I thought for a minute he was being funny, but he actually
was
totally serious. No two left footed people or baby elephants obviously required to take part in the Dublin Dance Festival. Brilliant.
You heard it here first, then. Here I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just watch. Okay. Coming up in the second part of the show now, after the short break we're going to. In the moment, Sarah going to be along with the local events taking place over the next couple of days, and then also Sarah's going to have a chat with Edwina Dewart, who's the manager of the Dublin City Volunteer Centre, and looking forward to both of those. We'll also have the jobs and volunteering opportunities in the same vein from the activelink.ie website. There's 32 requests for volunteers, believe it or not, this week, and 343 job offers. I'll highlight two of those before the end of the programme. So all of that to come on Week in Review. 90.3. This is Near FM. And welcome back to the show. I'm Declan Ralph. I'm here with Ken Kilbride and Sarah Birmingham today. And this is 90.3 Near FM, and you're listening to The Week in Review. If you want to get in touch while the show is on air, the text line is open. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. Or you can get in touch on email anytime. You just have to email weekinreview@near.ie. That's weekinreview@near.ie. And you'll get us on Twitter at Declan Ralph, at Near FM, hashtag Week in Review. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. And Sarah, you're welcome to the programme.
Hi, Declan. Good to be here. Absolutely, yeah.
Great. So we're going to talk about the events. Of course, some events and museums and some venues now open, which is great. We can go and see them. I actually went myself last Sunday to the Molly, the Museum of Literature Ireland. Couldn't recommend it enough. It's very convenient to get to, obviously, in the city centre. So a good couple of hours spent in there and a nice cup of coffee afterwards. So a very nice place. Now, first event you have for us, Sarah, is that you're encouraging us all to celebrate World Biodiversity Day and be at one with nature.
That's it. Yeah, Biodiversity Day, believe it or believe it not, is today, Saturday the 22nd of May, and it's billed as a day for celebrating life in all of its different forms, including all that we can find around us, right outside our door, really. So to mark the occasion, Regeneration Dublin have joined forces with Trinity College's Environmental Society and the Good Summit to host an intriguing free with nature event in Dublin today. The project is calling on people to get involved by providing pieces of clothing that are going to assist in creating what they call a tapestry of the species. So people are asked to lend clothes of specific colours which will be used to help to save the curlew, and that's a charismatic bird which is threatened with extinction in Ireland as a result of a poor environmental management system. Now, when I saw this, I was a bit intrigued as to what exactly it's all about, and it's an event that's been hosted in 30 different places around the world. It's been streamed live on YouTube today, so definitely worth checking out if biodiversity and the environment is something of interest to you. It's also then later on going to be developed as a documentary for the BBC World Service. And essentially, I believe in countries all over the world, they are creating kind of visual, kind of what they call tapestries and images of some of those kind of wildlife and animals that are particularly in danger and vulnerable, I suppose. And they're using that as well then to appeal for a kind of policy around biodiversity protection to protect those species. So lots going on there, really a kind of different and intriguing one. And if it's something that kind of whets your appetite, then you can search With Nature 2021 and probably the easiest thing to do, Dublin With Nature 2021, and that'll bring you straight to their Eventbrite page. So you can still get tickets for to be part of this afternoon's event. It's a free event online, and With Nature 2021, I'll have all the details there.
And yeah, and that word we like on this programme, free, even though you need a ticket.
Absolutely.
The ticket is free. Brilliant. Now, the next one is about revisiting the story of Cleary's, Dublin's first monster mart. And I didn't realise that there was somebody actually launched that department store ahead of Cleary's. I thought Cleary's were the original people there, but not. Do tell.
Yeah, I suppose maybe a slightly contested one, because I don't believe that it was Cleary's as such at the start. So I suppose when do you kind of trace the history of the building back to what point in time, you know, apparently there was actually a department store on Sackville Street there, as it was in 1853, which had been designed to kind of emulate some of the shopping locations of Paris. So I suppose a precursor to Cleary's, really. Michael J. Cleary then took over that building in 1883, and the story then really began to take on kind of a very checkered history and unusual kind of twists of fate and fortune. In the Easter Rising of 1916, the windows melted into the street from a huge fire that burned the store to the ground, and quite a kind of a well... known story there, I suppose, certainly a very historic kind of event involving that building. And then it was rebuilt and reopened in 1922, and it continued to trade until its closure, which came as a surprise to many, really, in 2015. And there's years of debate and discussion about the future of the building followed over the last couple of years, but they are expected to launch a luxury hotel on the site in the coming months, and it's really you know, come into something brand new, I suppose, a new use of the site. So it could be quite interesting to see over the next few months how that kind of evolves. And certainly as life gets back to normal, what the O'Connell Street cityscape is going to look like. I suppose no doubt that's going to play a part in it. So this coming Monday evening, May 24th, Dublin City Council historian in residence, Dr. Mary Muldowney, is going to take a look at that story of the Cleary's building in what's her fourth in a series of talks on the retail industry in the Dublin central area. The free talk can be watched online from 7 o'clock on Monday evening. Tickets are available through the Eventbrite platform, and it's been hosted by Central Dublin Library online. So if you search the history of retail in Dublin, or if you have a look at events at Dublin City Library, you'll be able to get all the information there. But
great,
tickets available through the Eventbrite platform on that as well, yeah.
Yeah, that would certainly be interesting. Something I'd like myself to find out what actually is the whole history of the building and of the whole story. Very interesting. Now, you've recently been talking about Collins Barracks, but now you're moving to Richmond Barracks.
That's it, yeah. So this is a particular one if you have a child or a young person in the family, in the house, who enjoys art and drawing and maybe looking for something a little bit different to do. They might like to check out, that word free again comes into this. It's an interactive workshop that's been hosted by Richmond Barracks next Saturday afternoon. So there, Dublin's historian in residence for children, Derv LaRote, an illustrator, cartoonist and author of the Deadly Irish History children's book series, John Farrelly, and that has kind of piqued my interest already, they are both going to be leading the session on illustrating history. So children and young people who attend the free session will have the opportunity to learn about the history of the Vikings and the Celts, to find out how illustrators like John generate their ideas for drawings and how they go about them. And then they'll also have the chance to take part in live drawing demonstrations to assist them in creating their own works of art at home. The online workshop is geared towards children aged 9 to 12 years of age. It takes place from 4 until 5:30 next Saturday afternoon, the 29th of May. Places, as we like to say, are free, but they have said that booking is essential. And the best thing to do there to book your place is to go to Dublin City Council Culture Company.ie, bit of a mouthful, or to visit Culture Connects at Dublin City Council Culture Company.ie. So that's the email address there.
An even bigger mouthful.
Culture Connects at Dublin City Council Culture Company.ie. That's the place to go to email there to book your place on us anyway. Yeah,
brilliant. If you're not too tired after writing the email address, now join in a vintage youth jam as part of the Bealtaine Festival. Of course, Bealtaine Festival is still running for another little while.
Yeah, so it's running all throughout the month of May, and it is the festival of arts and creativity involving older people, older generations. So I like the sound of this, what they call a youth jam. It's something that's been hosted in association with Dance Theatre of Ireland, and they're inviting audiences to join a vintage youth ensemble for a special screening of two live performance pieces. So they have Wisdom Moves is one of them. That's a 30-minute reflection on memories and formative experiences of the performers involved, and that story is going to be told through spoken word as well as movement to beautiful music. The River of Now then is the second piece. That's an intergenerational dance collaboration with the Dublin Youth Dance Company. So all ages are play there, and it's going to cross the boundaries that are presented by age, and get another nice kind of intergenerational dance piece there. As well as that, they're going to have a premiere screening of the group's most recent project, which they completed during lockdown. The Vintage Youth Ensemble is Dance Theatre of Ireland's senior performance group, and it's a group of older adults who come together, you know, to dance, to enjoy. They grew out of Dance Theatre of Ireland's Well Dance for Seniors classes, so they take part in dance and all types of performances. And the group are inviting attendees to join members of the cast and creators after the performances for an informal discussion, and maybe find out more about maybe how you can get involved as well. So that one there, it's the Vintage Youth Bealtaine Jam. And again, all the details through the Bealtaine Festival on that, if you'd like to take part in that.
Excellent, Sarah. Thanks a million for all those events today. You're going to stay with us for an interesting chat with Edwina Duart, the Dublin City, the manager of the Dublin City Volunteer Centre. So you hang on there. We're going to play a short piece of music and we'll chat to Edwina then. Thanks a million, Sarah.
Sounds great. Thanks, Declan.
90.3, this is Near FM. Hi, I'm Sarah Birmingham. I'm joined by Declan Rath and Ken Kilbride, and you're very welcome back to The Week in Review. Don't forget, if you have a story you'd like us to feature on the programme, you can get in touch with us during the show by text to 087 69 44 500 or by email to weekinreview@near.ie. We're on Twitter too, at Near FM, at Declan Rath, hashtag Week in Review. Well, are you a volunteer or have you ever considered taking on a volunteer role and giving back to your community? The seemingly small actions which volunteers in Dublin and across Ireland take every day really can have a huge impact. This week is National Volunteering Week, and a host of events are being hosted by volunteer centres across Dublin and Ireland to celebrate and give back to our volunteers. So what's involved and how can an individual take that first step on their volunteer journey? To tell us a little bit more about all this, I'm delighted to be joined now by manager of the Dublin City Volunteer Centre, Edwina Dewart. I hope I pronounced that all right, Edwina.
You pronounced it perfectly, Sarah. Well done.
Thanks so much for joining us, and I'm delighted at that. So that's a good start. I guess, as manager of the Dublin Volunteer Centre, what does that look like on a day-to-day, or what kind of way does the centre work with volunteer organisations?
Yeah, it's a great question, Sarah. I suppose day to day, we're doing a variety of things. So maybe on the one hand, I could describe it as services for volunteers. So whether that's at the moment, obviously with COVID, online events. So whether that's things like volunteer drop-ins, information sessions, meet the organization. So that's where another charity would maybe present to volunteers and the volunteer program. Appointments, but basically helping volunteers on the volunteer journey, either through information supports and events. And then on the other side of things, we would support approximately 600 local volunteer involving organisations. Mm-hmm. And in terms of their volunteer programmes and volunteer engagement and leadership, it could be helping them with a volunteer policy, helping them to advertise volunteer roles, helping them to market. Maybe they're struggling in a particular area. They want to know about policies or risk assessments. So effectively, the A to Z of volunteer management, and that could be, again, one-to-ones, could be events, it could be training, it could be resources that they can download from the website. And in addition to that, we also support about 250 local groups with a Garda vetting service and training service. So small local organisations that maybe wouldn't have a parent body to go through, but they need to get volunteers or staff vetted, we effectively can act as, let's say, the processor or the middle person between them and the National Vetting Bureau. So that's quite a busy service as well. And then I suppose just finally to add that because of COVID, we have taken on a number of direct volunteer management programs. So basically planning for them, setting them up and providing on-site management. So that would include, we have a book delivery scheme in collaboration with Dublin City Libraries. So volunteers deliver out packages to cocooners or people who are medically vulnerable and need to stay in. We have Critical, which is a project we launched this time last year in conjunction with Safe Ireland, St Patrick's Cathedral and several others to provide practical support to domestic violence refuges because of the increase in calls due to the pandemic and the shadow pandemic. And then I suppose, lastly, at the moment, we have a large volunteer programme down in the Aviva Mass Vaccination Centre. And so there are a number of people coming through every day, in fact, a couple of thousand to get vaccinated. It's a busy place. It's obviously the stadium, and we have 160 volunteer stewards in there. So we set up the programme for the HSE, with the HSE, and we manage it. It operates 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's not that quite that much, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's a very busy place to be. So that's,
I can imagine it almost feels like 24.
Some days it does, and it's just constant change and, you know, keeping up with all of that as well. So at the moment, that's kind of what life looks like for us in the centre.
It's a huge logistics kind of operation to keep all those plates spinning, and especially with the kind of practical restrictions that have been in place over the last year. But, you know, that theme of that volunteering week, I think that comes out really strongly in what you talk about, that idea of the small, practical, on the ground kind of steps that volunteers can take and that difference that volunteers can make in Dublin and across the country. I mean, how do you kind of see that? Like, what is the place of volunteering or the value of it?
I think particularly, so I suppose we're a volunteer centre. We've always been advocates of volunteers, and we get to see firsthand, you know, the sometimes what we call the magic, you know, what volunteers are able to do, how they help, how they step up, the variety of skills, the backgrounds that they bring in, you know, to their volunteering as well, which always like enriches a programme. But particularly, I think, in the pandemic, that volunteering maybe people's perceptions of it, perhaps, you know, before it was maybe considered nice, you know, something nice to do, maybe even sometimes a little bit fluffy. But in fact, what we've seen is through the pandemic, volunteers on the front line delivering services, whether that was shopping for people cocooning or down in the COVID test centres or now to the vaccination centres, that actually I think people are starting to realise more and more that volunteers, you know, are providing essential services and in the same category as essential workers. And in fact, when you think of all the services and supports that happened last year, I mean, quite simply, it wouldn't have happened without volunteer support alongside the various other teams that are involved in different projects.
It is hugely significant. Like, I know I just mentioned to you that I work with the Child Line Service, and I haven't done the training myself, you know, but I'm always blown away by our volunteers that we have, the commitment that they put in and the difference that they make, you know. But getting to National Volunteering Week then, how, you know, are we celebrating the volunteers, or how can we give back to them and thank them for all that they do?
Yeah, so the theme of it this year is small actions, big impact. And I suppose, again, because we're still in the pandemic, a lot of the events happening are largely virtual. So, you know, obviously we can't, unfortunately, have big get-togethers or events that we might ordinarily be able to do in terms of celebrating volunteers. But I suppose the theme is that either do something small for yourself if you're a volunteer, whether that's just take a little bit of time out for yourself, do something nice for yourself, or in terms of volunteering and voluntary actions, that, you know, sometimes what we think is a small thing, like maybe doing the shopping for somebody, you know, we think that that's no big deal, it's a small thing, but actually that can have a bigger impact on somebody else. And so that's the theme running through the week. There's various events that have been happening across the country through the week. And like that, we're just, I suppose, encouraging people to maybe thank volunteers, to, you know, recognize them, to actually maybe take that 5 minutes and just tell them what a great job they're doing. And I suppose it was interesting, even Sarah, when you mentioned it, for example, you know, I said we're down in the Aviva Mass Vaccination Centre. So we've got signs all over the place this week saying, don't forget to thank a volunteer. It's National Volunteer Week. Okay. So even because of that, you know, on Twitter, even yesterday on the Ray Darcy show, he was in and he talked about his experience of being vaccinated. And he mentioned, you know, the signs up, it's National Volunteer Week and the importance of thanking volunteers. And I think just, you know, that by itself is very important, that we just take that time out to recognise and thank our volunteers. And, you know, in line with that, small actions, big impact, that something we think is that small little act of kindness actually can have a big impact on others. And if I could give just maybe one example of this, sure. The Lord Mayor of Dublin City, Hazel Chew, so in recognition of National Volunteering Week, she basically opened the Mansion House garden. So it had been closed during level 5. But basically, as soon as she could, in recognition of National Volunteering Week and recognising the work of volunteers, she has been hosting afternoon tea all of this week in slots, all social distance outside in the garden. But actually, just, you know, to appreciate volunteers, and the feedback that we've had so far from people is that it just feels, you know, that little special treat and to be invited to a lovely afternoon tea and thanked by the Lord Mayor. And so that's really what it's about. It can be something very small, but just actually taking that time out to acknowledge what volunteers are doing.
That's a great example of it. Yeah, it's thoroughly deserved by everyone who gives to so many different organisations. Like, just for a quick kind of a flavour of what kind of volunteering opportunities maybe are out there for people at the moment, if they're tempted to kind of get stuck in.
Yeah, So some roles aren't available just at present because, again, still with kind of COVID restrictions and stuff. So it kind of varies. If you log on to our website, volunteerdublincity.ie, or in fact on iVol, which is the National Volunteering Database, you can go through and you can search by various categories, or you can search by, say, a distance to your home. There's more roles on it at present that would be virtual or volunteer from home. So one example of that might be writing a letter to somebody in a nursing home, or under the Critical Project, you know, we had letter writing to somebody leaving an abusive situation and starting their new life. So things like that can be done quite simply virtually. And then I suppose there's the other roles where people might be, you know, your typical roles, a helpline service, mentoring. And then obviously through the summer, we should see more roles being added to the database as well, in terms of when some of those restrictions are reduced further. So whether that's, you know, back in an office doing admin or DIY, etc. So we'll start to see more of those coming in stream. But at the moment, if anybody is interested, if you go onto the National Volunteering Database, iVol.ie, you'll be able to search based on your interest or based on the location you're in. Or if you're looking for something virtual that you just want to do from your home, you can search that as well.
I think we could chat about the benefits of volunteering for the whole day, but you know, there's just so much opportunity to get out there, to meet new skills, to meet new people, I should say, you know, to really kind of enrich your life. And I suppose as people maybe are looking forward and planning ahead and looking to the next few months as things start to get back to normal, I'm sure on this National Volunteering Week, you're doing, you know, so much to encourage them to go out there and volunteer and to check out iVol and Dublin City Volunteer Centre and find out about all those opportunities that are there. So thank you so much just for giving us a little flavour of what's going on. And yeah, maybe we'll have you back again in a couple months time as things do start to open up, and we can look at kind of what's out there and what the future looks like. But thanks a million.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
Thanks again, Sarah, and also thanks to Edwina too. So before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. And this week, in fact, there are 32 requests for volunteers and 34 job offers. So to the volunteering opportunity first, Feroga's Big Brother, Big Sister, that's the BBBS mentoring program, are looking for adult volunteers in Dublin Central. The basic idea is that a friendship will form between the young person and adult mentor that will promote the positive development of the young person. Now, if that's something you're interested in, you can contact Rachel Draper directly with any queries, and her number is 086 083 4475. Or you'll get her on email at rachel.draper@feroga.ie. On now to the job opportunity. The Community Foundation for Ireland believes in a fair, caring and vibrant Ireland for now and the future. They work with individuals, families, corporates and other trusts and foundations to translate giving in the moment to giving that is strategic and impactful. They're currently recruiting for the role of Head of Grants and Donor Care, and the role will lead and grow their work with grantees and manage and implement the donor care strategy in order to grow the existing grant funds and in order to optimise the impact of grants on part of the organisation and its donors. Now, if that's something that you're interested in, you can apply for that role by sending an email with your CV and covering letter to careerscfi@foundation.ie. So that's careerscfi, that's short for Community Foundation Ireland, @foundation.ie. And you need to do that no later than 5 p.m. on the 28th of May. Well, believe it or not, that's it for another week of The Week in Review. Thanks a million to Ken and Sarah for all their input during the week and for their contributions today as well. Don't forget, if you have an item you'd like me to feature, you can contact me on weekinreview@near.ie. You'll also get me anytime on Twitter, @nearfm, @DeclanRalph, #weekinreview. And we'll all be back at the same time next week, 12:30 on Saturday. So for now, for me, Declan Ralph, well, I'll see you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.